This is Campus Journal, program number 986 for Monday, February 7, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and if you really want to get folks upset, just threaten their economy. I mean, a bad economic picture got George Bush knocked out of office a couple of years ago, and just the threat of a downturn nearly got Paul booted out of Ephesus. Now, if you have time, read all of Acts chapter 19 in the Bible today. I think it's a great illustration of an important truth about human nature. You see, people may get a bit stressed if you fool around with their religion, but if you do something that will take money out of their pocket, then look out. Now, here's what happened. Paul arrived in Ephesus and started arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Spent 3 months preaching in the synagogue and then 2 years in a lecture hall. And this is where the money angle comes in. Now, because Paul had been so successful in getting people to see that there is but one true God, a lot of Ephesians had stopped worshiping a goddess named Diana. And that was bad news for the local silversmiths union. See, they made their living by making and selling little statues of Diana. And so if enough people stopped believing in her, then their business would dry up. Well, a near riot broke out when Demetrius, who was one of the craftsmen that made these statues, rounded up his smith buddies and told them all about the economic ramifications of what Paul was saying and doing in their town. You know, I think this Ephesus incident can maybe help remind us to evaluate our reasons for worshiping the one true God. Do we think of our worship of God as an avenue to prosperity and good fortune? Well, I hope not. See, we need to worship God because of who He is and because of His love for us, not because loving Him might help improve our bottom line. That's something to think about in the Monday entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 987 for Tuesday, February 8, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Monday's entry in the Campus Journal, and maybe you can identify with the student that I heard about recently. See, he'd gotten himself into some financial trouble. He had loaned $500 to a friend who lived in another city. Now, at the time, he hadn't even thought to ask for a receipt or anything like that indicating the amount of this loan. But after quite a bit of time had passed and he hadn't been repaid, he was wondering if he would ever see that money again. And he didn't have any way to prove that this friend owed him the money. Well, in desperation, he went to his father, and his dad said this. He said, well, just write him a letter and say that you need the $1,000 that you loaned him. No, you mean $500, the son interrupted. No, said the father, if you say $1,000, my guess is he'll write back immediately to say that he only owes you $500, and then he'll have it in writing. And you know what? That plan worked. And so I would think that if just a plain old dad can come up with such an ingenious idea, imagine the possibilities available to us from our all-wise Heavenly Father. Now, God is the source of all wisdom, and He has promised that if we would ask Him for it, He would give wisdom freely to us. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, and we do, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. And so we can be certain that as we choose to live for God and ask Him, He will give us wisdom for those crucial moments in life that we so desperately needed. And that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal devotional guide for yourself or a student-age person you know, just call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. That's 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 988 for Wednesday, February 9, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and are you in the process of making some tough decisions right now? Well, tell you what, if you're not today, you soon will be, because difficult choices seem to be about as unavoidable as dirty laundry. You know, what major in school to take, what job, what career, whom to date, whom to marry, how to handle a problem relationship. Sure, it'd be nice to have God send us a fax with some specific, detailed instructions from time to time, wouldn't it? Now, there's a new satellite-based air traffic control system that the FAA unveiled last year that enables planes to land in good weather or bad without the pilot having to make any decisions or touch any of the controls. I think for those times when we feel like we're trying to make our way through the fog of unclear options, a similar system for the choices confronting us sounds appealing, doesn't it? But let's get real, because that's not how life works, is it? And it's probably not even a life that we would enjoy. We'd be nothing more than programmed machines if that were the case. And so how do we make tough choices? Let me quickly give you 5 principles that you may find helpful. All right, first, go to the Lord. Express your dependence on Him. And then make sure that you understand His principles. Search God's Word for insight. Next, investigate your options. And then discuss it with others. And finally, if you're still not sure and you have no clear-cut direction and a decision can't be delayed, well, express your God-given freedom and go ahead and choose based on your best information. You see, some choices are just tough choices, but I think that process may help. And that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Heading. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 989 for Thursday, February 10, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and when Mindy Bryant traveled to Karaganda on a short-term missions trip, she quickly discovered that that town lives up to its nickname. They call it the city where no one smiles. See, Karaganda is a city of about 500,000 that's located in one of the republics formed by the breakup of the old Soviet Union. Now, there is a reason why no one smiles in Karaganda. It's because of all the casualties of the communist system. The people who lived there suffered the most. The corruption pervaded every aspect of economic and political life there. And today, jobs are few, money is scarce, little medicine is available, and the shops are empty. And no one, city officials, investors, government representatives, no one has any idea what's going to happen next there. It's a city without hope. But anyway, back to Mindy Bryant's missions trip. She said that even there in Karaganda, that there are some whose lives are filled with hope and joy because they've trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. On the outside, life is bleak, but not on the inside. These believers know that one day they are going to assume occupancy in homes that Jesus is preparing for them, where He is the light and where there will be no more hunger, no more disease, no more tears. And so, what about the city where you live? Are the people there happy? Or is it a city where no one smiles? Well, chances are there are many in your city without hope because they don't know Jesus Christ. So let me ask you something. What can you do to bring at least some of them the hope and happiness that comes only from trusting in Jesus Christ? Something to think about in today's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinger, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 990 for Friday, February 11, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and he had a thriving ministry of teaching and writing. He He had a beautiful wife and family, and then he wrecked it all by committing adultery. Now, this story isn't made up. It really happened. But the person I'm talking about, let's call me in today's program, all right? As in, it could have been you or me. You see, me seemed to have it all together. His world appeared to be in order when his extramarital affair took place. In fact, just a few short months before his fatal involvement, he told an interviewer that the one area of his life in which he was sure he would never fall was his faithfulness to his wife. But that boast, I think, revealed a strong base of pride in me's heart. And pride is never a good thing, especially when it's based in our own strength. And this apparently was the case with me. He was not as strong as he thought, and he fell into sin. And the result, of course, was almost unbearable pain and brokenness for everyone involved. And what I'd like you to remember today is that you could be this man. You could be me. I could be me. And so how do we avoid becoming like him? Well, one way is to learn that self-pride and boasting in our own virtues just leads to trouble. In Galatians chapter 6 in the Bible, it says that we are not to boast in anything, in wisdom or strength or wealth, you name it. Boast only, it says, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, only in Christ and what he's done for us. If we boast in anything else, especially ourselves, I'll tell you what, we're just asking for trouble. I really hope you'll think about that. It is an important principle. It's our Friday entry in the Campus Journal. Now, for a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga, and I'll see you on Monday. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 991 for Monday, February 14, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hearts and flowers, valentines, candlelight dinners, diamonds, boxes of chocolates. Well, hi, this is the Monday Valentine's Day entry in the Campus Journal. And if you want to know where it all got started, you have to go back even farther than the 3rd century church leader who gave Valentine's Day its name. Even back farther than Antony and Cleopatra, or Abraham and Sarah. Actually, it all began in the Garden of Eden with God. You see, from Adam and Eve until now, marriage has been the God-ordained bonding of one man and one woman. And if those two are to become one in a growing relationship that lasts for a lifetime, they really have to love one another. But as important as love is, it's not the most important element. From the very beginning, they must give God first place in their relationship. Now, Catherine Paxton illustrates this truth this way. She wrote that a braid that you put in your hair appears to be only two strands of hair, but it's impossible to create a braid with only two strands. If the two could be put together at all, they would quickly unravel. And so herein lies the mystery. What looks like two strands requires a third. The third strand, though it's not immediately evident, keeps that braid tightly woven. And so it's God's presence, like that third strand in a braid, that holds a husband and wife together as well. And so are you married, or are you thinking about marriage? Well, if so, decide right now to give God the place of honor in your home. Follow his standards of purity, include him in everything. And as you do, you'll find that your entire relationship will be held tightly together by that third strand, the power and the presence of God. Well, that's Monday's entry in the Campus Journal. And if you or someone you know would like a free copy of our Campus Journal devotional booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga. Thanks for listening today. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Campus Journal, program number 992 for Tuesday, February 15, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and the date was March 2nd, 1962. Place, Hershey, Pennsylvania. The event, a well-chronicled historic accomplishment. I know you probably weren't even born in 1962, were you? But take a guess. What took place that night in Hershey, Pennsylvania? No, it wasn't the night the famous candy bar was concocted. Not a bad guess, but that was well before 1962. Give up? Well, it was the night that NBA basketball star Richie Guerin scored 39 points for the New York Knicks in a losing effort against the Philadelphia Warriors. What? You never heard of this guy? Well, you know, Richie Guerin, the guy who... wait a minute. I've got the wrong basketball player. It wasn't Guerin who went into the NBA record books that night. It was Wilt Chamberlain. He scored an incredible 100 points that night, set a one-game record that probably will never be broken, especially since Michael Jordan has now retired. But think about it. Richie Guerin, the best nights of his career, scores 39. He doesn't even merit a footnote. You talk about taking a back seat. So you can relate to Richie Guerin, huh? You sometimes feel that your best efforts go relatively unnoticed? Are you invisible to that member of the opposite gender you've been trying to impress? Does your 3.2 GPA pale in comparison to that of your older sister? Well, remember, your value as a person doesn't depend on your charm, doesn't depend on your looks or your grade point average, your popularity. Ultimately, your value has been given to you by God, who made you to be exactly who you are. Because be assured, God notices you, and He cares about you. Well, that's Tuesday's entry in the Campus Journal. And for a free copy of our monthly CJ booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 993 for Wednesday, February 16, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal, and do you ever really get down on yourself? Well, sure, I guess most of us will admit that we go through times when we feel like we're unneeded or unimportant, kind of stupid or unloved. But you know, for some, that condition is chronic. It's like being on the outside looking in with the nose pressed against the window, hands cupped around the eyes, admiring and envying all the happy people who are on the inside. And a girl named Carol knew that feeling all too well, because most of her life was spent with her face pressed against that window. I guess she really didn't mind all that much not being the center of attention, but why did she have to be so completely invisible to everyone? She felt so unloved and so alone. Finally, Carol tried to end her own life. Didn't really want to die exactly, but she just didn't feel good about herself in any way. And while our reaction may not be as extreme as Carol's, we sure can identify with her, can't we? We too like to feel like we are valuable to someone. We too would like to develop a healthy sense of self-respect. And we can. However, for that to happen, we need to realize that a right view of ourselves is directly related to a right view of God. Now, He made us. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And He's focused His love on us, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. See, we are incredibly valuable and special to Him, to the God of the universe. And when we respond with gratitude for what we mean to Him, that aching emptiness in our soul can give way to the warmth and acceptance of His great love. You see, with God, we are never on the outside looking in. Well, that's Wednesday's entry in the Campus Journal. For a free copy of our Campus Journal devotional booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hedding. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 994 for Thursday, February 17, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal, and you know, our dog Gus just wasn't himself. In fact, he was one miserable dog. There was something wrong with his ears. He'd scratch and shake and pace and whine, and until he got some drops to put in those ears, poor Gus didn't quite know what to do. He'd go from room to room, squeeze under the beds, go to the basement, come back upstairs, sit by the back door to go outside. Poor guy just didn't know what to do. He couldn't figure out that wherever he went, this feeling in his ears went with him. And you know, I think Gus's behavior, something like ours when we're tormented by the pangs of guilt. Instead of recognizing the source of our pain and dealing with it, we try to escape. We bury ourselves in studies or in sports or in parties, so we don't have time to think about how miserable we are. Or we put the blame for our misery then on circumstances or other people. But when we do that, really, we're only fooling ourselves. Pain's not going to go away until we deal directly with the source of the problem. King David in the Bible wrote Psalm 32. Out of his own bitter experience, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." He was absolutely miserable. But then he wrote, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, to God, and did not cover up my iniquity." And then David experienced God's complete forgiveness. His guilt was gone, his conscience was cleansed. And so I guess we've talked enough now about Gus and about David. What about you and me? As we read Psalm 32, what comes to our mind? Some specific, unforsaken, unconfessed sin? Well, if so, let's deal with the problem head on. Because remember, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can have complete forgiveness. That's Thursday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you or a student-age person you know would like a free copy of our monthly CJ devotional booklet, call 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga, and I'll see you tomorrow. This is Campus Journal, program number 995 for Friday, February 18, 1994. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hi, this is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal, and let me ask you something. How will history remember you? History never forgets, so you're going to want to watch your step. For example, Vince Coleman, then of the New York Mets, has been one of baseball's most feared base runners in recent years. But when he lobbed a big firecracker from a car at some fans, he probably changed the way that people are going to remember him. Gary Hart, he could have been president of the United States. He was a leading candidate in 1988. But because of moral indiscretions, he is better remembered today as an example of political misjudgment and failure. We also need to recall, of course, positive examples. The Old Testament book of Esther in the Bible tells us that Mordecai was remembered throughout the kingdoms of Media and Persia because of his courage and his integrity. He saved the Persian king's life, and he was instrumental in preserving the Jewish nation. Esther chapter 10, verse 2 says that history gives full account of the greatness of Mordecai. Now, most of us are not going to go down history books at all. There are only so many pages in them, so many presidents and kings and superstars to write about. However, we will make an impact in the history of some people's lives. Now, you may be remembered, for example, as the person who brought several of your friends and relatives into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Or as the friend maybe who had a talent for helping and encouraging people who were going through struggles and hard times. No, you don't need to show up in a history book for you to go down in history. And that is Friday's entry in the Campus Journal. If you'd like a free copy of our monthly Campus Journal booklet, call toll-free 1-800-653-7221. I'm Brian Hettinga. Hope you have a good weekend. And remember that you make history when you influence a life. Campus Journal is furnished by Radio Bible Class of Grand Rapids, Michigan.